The title of this message this morning is Living Under the Shadow of Eternity. As if eternity was a looming mountain and we're living under the shadow of eternity. I have a question for you today. What if you lived today as though it were your last opportunity to pray and to be loved, to love and to be ready? What if you lived today as if it were your last day to glorify God on this earth? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to be in chapter 4. And we've been doing a lot of standing, but I would have you stand for just a moment for the reading of God's word this morning, in honor and reverence of his word, if you can possibly stand. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm just going to read the first part. The end of all things is near or at hand. Will you all stretch your hand forward to pray for your pastor this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we ask your will be done completely, that nothing be left out, Lord. Of all that you would have me said and heard, that I would speak your word as a conduit, Lord, I know that you have given me your word, and I pray that you have your way in me, that I would not hinder your word from flowing. I give myself to you wholly and completely, knowing I cannot do this without you. I would not want to, Lord. I call on you, and I agree with these who are praying, that your word would go forth, Lord, and it doesn't come back void, but, Lord, that they would take hold of your word with their very ears, and that they would apply it to their lives by holding fast to it, rehearsing it through the week in their minds, getting into your word and seeking you wholeheartedly. Transform us, God, as it is your will to do so, by your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Being a Christian follower is not meant to be a quick fix to any of our problems. We all have problems. If I said, do you have a problem? Raise your hand. I can raise both hands. We could raise our hands. But being a Christian follower doesn't mean that these are quickly fixed. It doesn't mean that. It's not a quick fix to our problems. We will continue to suffer in this present world. Can I hear an amen? This is so. This is true. God's word says it several times. Christ's followers focus, they set their mind on the blessed hope, an eternal destination. Regardless of the suffering, regardless of all of the struggle, regardless of any persecution and any distress, Christ's followers, believers in Christ, set their mind on God, on the cross, on his word, and dig into his word, apply his word to their very lives. Yes, we may suffer for a minute or get stuck in a minute of struggling, but God is faithful. His word is true, and his promises are sure, and all we need do is call out to him. All we need to do is trust him. He doesn't fix everything. Doesn't make the storm stop. Not always. But I promise you, he will carry you through it. He didn't bring you to it to not take you all the way through it. And he can even part the Red Sea for millions of people. And they walk across on dry ground. How much he can do for you and me goes beyond our imagination. Beyond what we can fathom. Beyond what I can't even imagine. I just can't imagine. He is able. Living under the shadow of eternity means, yes, we're going to have problems, but eternity is just at hand. The scripture we just read that Peter wrote about is the end of all things is near. And the rest of that verse says this, the rest of these verses says this, that the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded. For the sake of your prayers. I'm going to go on and read all of this all the way to verse 11 this morning. Above all, in verse 8 says, but above all, keeping love, keep on loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And verse 11 says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that it in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever. Amen. Everyone say amen. It is to him. Peter has a goal here. What if today you decided to live like it was your last? What would you do if it was the last day, last opportunity to pray? What would you pray about? Last opportunity to love someone. What would you do? How would you do that? And to be ready, the last opportunity to get it in order and get it all ready. There's many things we might do. We may find ourselves rushing around doing a lot of things. Peter, here, he's writing to people who were, this was written in 62 to 64 AD by Peter. And it was written to people who were really struggling at the time under persecution of Nero's Rome. They blamed them for fires, and they viewed Christians as enemies, and suffering and urgency were daily realities of that early church. It hasn't changed. Sufferings are a daily reality of many of God's people today. If you go to Canada and you preach the word of God, you'll likely end up in jail. If you go to China, you may die. And many other places in the world. There are even homes in America where you will suffer greatly if you speak the name of Jesus. Children having to hide their faith from their parents who do not believe. People are suffering. Yes, people are suffering. Paul is writing, and his goal is to anchor believers' hope in the eternal life in Christ Jesus by motivating something, by motivating holy, alert living in the face of the present darkness. You see, it's possible to have that happen, to be motivated and have a holy focus on Christ, that focus on God Almighty, and to be so focused on him that when you face a storm or some tragic event like Paul, who was bitten by a snake, and a snake even latched onto him, to where if it wasn't got for God and the Spirit of God and the anointing of God, that thing would have killed him. It amazed people around, and Paul just shook it off and went on. I want you to know that the Lord can do that for you in any situation. All we need is draw nigh to him and allow him to draw nigh to us. Draw close to him and he will draw close to you. And yes, we struggle and we suffer, but there is a hope beyond hope in the name of Jesus, and the word of God is transformative, as we have been hearing so profoundly in our Thursday night Bible study. Thanks to the Lord. The end of all things is near. Christ's resurrection inaugurated the last days, and the final age began at his first coming. Acts 2:17 says this, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." God is at work right now. He's been at work since since Jesus came. He's been at work before that. But the resurrection, Jesus giving his life and the resurrection happening and the church moving forward and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're seeing prophecy enacted in our daily lives in this world today. I'm seeing people who do not believe about, they don't believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They've been taught different than that. They haven't heard that part. They were saved, but they didn't believe the rest. They didn't hear the rest. I've seen them weeping big tears as the Holy Spirit is working on them, drawing them closer to what God wants for them. You see, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but God's purpose will stand. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the accumulation of the ages has come. The accumulation of ages. We're in the shadow just of the moment of this peak, of this climax in history. Christ is coming. His coming is near. We're there seeing the initial birth pains and some of the things before that and hearing things. Things are going to get worse, but God's people have a hope beyond all hope in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1:2 says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. We are in the last days. Paul was in the last days. The disciples, after all of these things, were saying and preaching to those then. They were in the last days. You see, we're in that age, that dispensation of grace. And then there's going to be a homecoming day for those who are in Christ Jesus. The church is going to be called out of this world. And we are going to go to be with the Lord forever. You see, and maybe that's why the Lord pauses me on the great tribulation and opening all these judgment seals. We need to focus on this a moment. We need to sit in this a moment and think about what God has done for us and how wonderful it is to be the body of Christ, to be the church, the bride of Christ. How wonderful it is to sit right here on these seats and be a part of one another in Christ Jesus. This family of God, this that we have been called to and loved by the Holy Spirit too, and this that we are called to do is marvelous, a marvelous thing before the Lord, that we would glorify him by reaching out to others and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The final age has arrived. Peter declares moral urgency. It's not a prediction of a specific date or an hour right here. It's an imperative. The things that you will see in these verses are imperative for us. They are important for us. It's a must that we hold on to these things, these truths in these few verses. Every generation lives in the last hour. Every generation. This is not ancient news for Peter's audience alone. It wasn't just for them. It's for us right now. For us right now. And I say, if you're afraid, you need not fear if you're Christ's child. If you're worried, filled with anxiety, if those things grip your heart, that's the devil. You need to take hold of that. By the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God, reach into God's Word, search God's Word, find those scriptures. If you're struggling with something in your life, there are scriptures in the Word of God for that. To fight, we need the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We need our loins girded with the truth, and we need We need our loins girded with the Word of God. We need the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the shoes of peace. We must be active. And the enemy doesn't want us to make it forward, not one step. So when he rages, know he's a liar. And he does fight. He fights against us individually, and he fights against this church body here and the church body at large, and he fights against your pastor. But he is a loser. He lost a long time ago. It's under the blood of Christ. 1 John 2:18 says, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. There are many. We've heard of a few here and there, but it's going to get worse. Because the end is near. How you live now matters." Yes, how you live now matters. It matters forever. The kingdom, the coming kingdom demands our present holiness. It's time. It's time to lay something down. You may have something in your mind, something that's been distracting you. I have things in my mind and I want to lay it down. I talk about it often. Lay it down. Not blatant sin to turn my back against God, but things that I want to change about myself that I'd be even more ready for his coming. That I would be even more at work for the glory of Christ. That I would be giving my absolute all. Because I haven't yet, but I'm going to work even harder to do so. I love the time I have with the Lord, and I need more time with the Lord. You see, I know that when we get alone with God, like when we get alone with God and together with God in this prayer room back here, God does things that are marvelous. The kingdom of God, when it comes in contact, when it comes in contact with people, things in those people's lives change. They see the glory of God. I want to be like that. I want to see something happen. Not for my glory, Lord, hide me, but for his glory alone. I want to see that person come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and shout for glory. It did my heart good. It did my heart so good to see a 13-year-old young man standing right over there a few weeks ago, hands straight up in the air, praising God during worship. We need our young people to know that Jesus lives and that he loves them and they're hungry. Be praying for our young people. Be praying for one another. Reach out to one another. Call one another. Look around. Who's missing? Who's missing? It would be as vital as if you lost your hand, your right hand if you're right-handed, or your left hand if you're left-handed, for that one person to be not present on that great day. Part of our body is missing today. They're struggling and suffering with sickness. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray through for them. Call them. Love them. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." You see, it's about that. It's about that. And when you're standing, lifting your hands, forgive your brother so that you won't be hindered. Your prayers won't be hindered. 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?" You ought to live holy and godly lives. That's where we ought to be, living holy and godly lives, handling and being able to handle the word of God and handling and conquering trials of suffering. We can't do that alone. No matter how strong we are, we can't do that alone. And I'm going to tell you, some of us will go through some struggling and suffering just so that some others will begin to learn how to help one another. There may be some turmoil you're going through, and someone needs to obey the Lord and go and pray for them. Someone needs to obey the Lord and call them up. Go visit them. You see, the enemy of the world has stole away something from the church, and that's people talking to each other. You know, especially some of these young people, more even in my generation, getting stuck in all of the social media stuff It's very catching away. It's built that way. It's built that way. We need God. The TV can catch a person away. Just daily duties can catch a person away from focusing on God. Last week, the disciples were trying to get Jesus to pay attention to these beautiful buildings. That's what we talked about last week when he was leaving the temple and walking away. See, these temporary things, they are temporary. Our minds must be turned and be focused on the Lord, because we're going to miss something if we don't take hold. Sometimes we have to take hold of something that God has given us, like a pit bull with a bone, and hold on to it for all your might. And don't let it go no matter what. You have to fight for what is yours in Christ Jesus. He's given it to you. Now we must have faith to walk in what he's given us. Faith in him. Five essentials. Five essentials found in these few verses. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 8. First one, live clear-minded and self-controlled. Clear-minded and self-controlled. And that second one is live watching and praying. You have to watch something, you got to have your eyes open. Watching for something. Your ears open, listening for something. Paying attention, you got to be awake. Number three, live with fervent love. We must have that fervency of love. That truth, the love of God, not the love of the world, the love of God. The fourth one is live showing hospitality cheerfully. You see, there's a directive there. Show it. Live showing hospitality. Look for opportunities to show hospitality. And when we do it cheerfully. The fifth one, live using your gifts. We're not going to know what we're gifted with exactly by the Holy Spirit unless we know him, unless we welcome him into our daily lives, unless we spend time with the Holy Spirit. He's your counselor. He's your counselor, better than any counselor could ever be. He's your friend, better than any friend could ever be, closer than any friend could ever be, oh, more powerful than any friend could ever be. And oh, how God loves us. He's here with us. He speaks to us what he's told to speak to us. Speaks the will of God. We need to have our ears open to listen. Have our hearts open to receive. To trust him at his word and then obey him in his direction. In his directing us. In the little things as much as possible. And the big things as much as possible. In faith. And do not fear when things aren't exactly right. Turn to him instead. Day by day, little by little, and especially his word, and you will grow. You are not alone, I want you to know. You're not alone in your suffering, in your pain, in your sorrow. You're not alone in your loneliness. At times we have it. Sometimes people feel they do not think anyone understands, but the Lord, he does. He is your great shepherd, and he is there for you. And he is there for you, with you, wherever you go, as you know him. And as you seek his face, he will show you. As you trust in him, You will see. He is faithful. 1 Peter 4 and 7 says, again, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. That's so you can pray. For the sake of your prayers. Prayers is the purpose here. As Peter's speaking, self-control and sobriety exist to protect and empower your prayer life. Having a mind that's clear and focused on God's word, it's there. God's word is there to tell us how to live. And if we'll focus on his word and fill our mind with his word, there are things to retain and hold on to. And let it get to the heart. And if it gets in the mind and our thinking and in our heart, it'll go into our actions. But we also have to put one foot in front of the other. You read a verse and you go, oh, that's good. Put my anger away from me. And the next day you're throwing something across the room because you're angry. Well, that's not what God meant. Put your anger. That doesn't work. It's talking about giving it to God. Put your anger in a place where someone can carry it and carry the load. He can take care of that. We've got to give it to God. Shattered, undisciplined minds produce weak, wandering, and powerless prayers. We could get stuck praying and all we're doing is sitting complaining to God. You might have had that happen. I think I know I have had that happen in the past. Found myself just, oh, and then the Spirit of the Lord says, whoa, Lisa, you're complaining. And then immediately I find my heart being compelled to ask for forgiveness for complaining about something. And I'm brought back to the truth of the Word of God. You know, that's what's great about listening to each other praying and learning from one another how to pray. God is using us in our praying. That we would grow, that we would grow stronger. Not that we would pray to just be heard, but that we would grow together, that we can agree together in prayer, that we can grow, that we can even learn and change our ways and attitudes when need be. When we come to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. When we ask Him, He loves us just that much. Prayer is the Christian's primary weapon and communion line in these last days. From the time that Paul was speaking and beyond, and Peter here was speaking and beyond, guard it at all costs. Guard it. That time that you have with the Lord is precious. That time that you have with the Lord in His presence needs to be guarded. That relationship you have with Him must be guarded. And your prayer life and your mind must be guarded. A sober, self-controlled believer has clear access to the throne. Unclouded communion with the living God. It's not filled with all kinds of other things. Someone told me to, this week, you need to come to God with something in your hand. I've been meditating on that. And it really makes an impact in your prayers when you come to God with worship in your hand. And you worship the Lord. And you give Him the glory and the honor. And then in the suffering, you worship God because you were able to suffer, knowing that He knows and is with you all the way through it. Revolutionary to know that God takes good care of His children. Be self-controlled and sober-minded. Romans 2, 3, verse 3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of themselves more highly than we ought to think. But to think with sober judgment, just each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Being sober-minded, not high-minded, sober-minded. Titus 2:11 and 2, verse 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Whatever we're struggling with, I'm speaking to me as well. Whatever we struggle with, we got to give it to God. We got to live and renounce anything that's ungodly or any kind of worldly passion. Be alert. Be on top of it. Pay attention to it. The only way you can do that is through the Word of God, filtering your mind through the Word of God, renewing your mind through the Word of God, letting God's Word transform your life. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action." And that's what we're doing when we're talking about these things. Preparing our minds for action. It goes on to say, "And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Set your mind fully upon it, not partially, not a tidbit here and there, fully upon it, all the way completely given to the Lord, fully on that hope, our blessed hope. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us an important reason why to be sober-minded. If you know 1 Peter 5 and 8, you know it's talking about this adversary we got. We have an adversary, and he's very real. He is like a roaring lion. He's like it. But I envision him as toothless when it comes to the Holy Spirit moving against him. He acts like he's got a big bite. He thinks he's going to take a chunk out of your life, but glory be to God, no matter what we go through, it is something that God blesses and turns it out for good. The enemy is a loser, and he's a liar. He makes a mess as much as he tries, but we have been empowered to be more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You can handle it in Christ Jesus. And you can conquer it in Christ Jesus, whatever it is, through the blood of the Lamb. Devoted to watching and prayer, that's what we need to be. One of these others is devoted to watching and prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continually, steadfastly, in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." In prayer, steadfastly, continually. You have a prayer life. It starts growing like a plant. It just seems to just draw you in. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. Have you ever read the Word of God and you could hardly leave it down? You were kind of late for work. It's hard to leave it. It's hard to stop praying when you get in the flow of the Holy. And who wants to stop? Right? We want to feel that. We want to be continually in praying. Anytime we have a problem, turn to prayer. Anytime we have a question, turn to prayer. Anytime we need God, turn and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what you need to know. You need comforting, ask Him to comfort you. You need a friend, ask Him to send you a friend and be that friend. He'll show Himself as a friend to you. I asked for something from the Lord this week, and I was overwhelmed with His answer. He didn't specifically speak to me, but He sent several people to say things that were quite overwhelming to me this week. God did that. And then He had to tell me, "See, this is the answer. This is it." I said, "Lord, what do you think about it? What do you think about how I'm doing?" Now, when the Lord answers, that's a whole nother ballgame. You see, He'll give you what you need. You may go 20 miles in the desert and can't go another step because you're dried out, you're parched, you don't have any water, no resources. That's not me, by the way, but if you were like that, you would have that happening. But with the Holy Spirit, you can go 20 more. You could leap over a wall. Can you imagine me leaping over a wall? With the Holy Spirit, I can. If He guides you to it, He will take you, and He'll do exactly what He's called you to do through you as you lead and lean on Him, yield to Him. I can't I have not enough time to say all I need to say, or would love to say maybe more. Love fervently in Christ. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. For a sincere brotherly love. You see, that's your work. Having purified your souls by the obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, then the next step is love one another earnestly from a pure heart. You flip the page. Oh, you've done the work. You've worked so hard. You feel like you've got there as far as I've learned this lesson. I've got it. I'm practicing it. My training wheels are off. Right? I'm writing. And you flip the page and then it says, now do it with a pure heart. No grumbling, no begrudging, nothing ugly. Cheerfully showing hospitality, Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We're seeking to show it to one another. Thank you, Donna, for your work on this hospitality team, leading it. You see, she sets up these things in the back, and her husband, Dwayne, helps, and the coffee and the things. You know, that's hospitality. She went with me yesterday. It's precious to have someone come alongside you in working for the Lord. It's wonderful. That's what Debbie was talking about. The beauty of the Lord being seen in his people to the world around his loving children. May God bless your family, Debbie, even more. 1 Peter 4:9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You catch yourself doing that grumble thing, it's easy to do. Turn it off. Give it to God. Ask for forgiveness. Move forward. Don't get in the habit of grumbling. It's just destructive. It limits you from the following thing we talk about. Using your gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There's nothing like that. In Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, and we have a lot of opportunity, you see the seeds too, empty ones as well. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good, church, do good. For the glory of God, do good. God lays it in your heart, you see an opportunity, go the extra mile and watch what God does. And make sure you tell them Jesus sent you. Jesus loves you. Tell them something about what the Lord has done for you. Brother Jack, you could come, yes. What if today, what if you live today, as though it were your last opportunity to pray? What would you pray for? There's a multitude of sick people in the hospital today, right now, throughout all the world. There are some that are struggling in nursing homes, and hospice has come to some's home. There are children who are in the orphanages all around the country and the world. We have loved ones in our own homes and some in our families, distant families. If this was your last day to pray, what would you pray? If this were your last day to love, how far would you go to reach out to love those souls that you know need to be loved. How much would you give of yourself to love them despite the things they say and that hurtful way they are? They just need Jesus. And you have this gift of salvation right there that you've been given to share. Would you be ready if this were your last day? And we don't know the hour or the time. And we could sit on church pews and seats for years and years and years and still not yield to the Lord. Would you be ready? Would you have everything in order? Are you ready to see your Savior face to face? He longs to see you. Let's all bow our heads. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. May God grant us clear minds, watchful hearts, and fervent prayers until He comes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.